me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hey, lady listeners, it is Leah, just me, once again. Welcome back to Read Me Romance. We are so excited to have you with us. We have a brand new audiobook from Emma Bray, Stalking in the Holidays, and you guys are going to love it. Also, Merry Christmas, because it's Christmas. What the hell? I cannot believe it's here already. So anyways, if you are in the throes of it, or if you are hiding in a closet just trying to get a break, here with you, I understand, and don't worry, it's all going to be okay, and we've got a filthy story to play for you to keep your mind off of it. So I'm going to get straight into it. I'll read you the book bio, and then we're just going to play it. Stalking in the Holidays by Emma Bray. Bonnie Belmont is on the run, and it's not from the law. It's from her creepy stepdad. She's off to start a new life, but she needs a job and a way to make her own way in the world. It's scary going out on her own at barely 18, but anything is better than her stepdad's leers and lewd comments. Brian Lane loves owning his own gym and helping his clients achieve their fitness goals. His life is going smoothly, even if it's somewhat routine. That is, until the prettiest little brunette he's ever seen stumbles into his gym. She has a lost little girl look in her big brown eyes that cuts straight to his core and makes every protective instinct in him roar to life. By the time the night is over, he knows one thing for sure. He's never going to be able to let her go. So he stalks her. I really don't know what else you need. I'm sorry, but that's exactly what Christmas is all about. So we're going to get into it, and I'll see you guys on the other side.
Stalking in the Holidays. Written by Emma Bray. Narrated by Mackenzie Berry. Chapter 1. Bonnie. This isn't the way things are supposed to be. It's 1 week before Christmas, and here I am out in the freezing cold in nothing but my skimpy little pajamas. I'm fleeing my skeevy pervert of a stepdad. He got drunk again tonight and came into my room, giving me those leering eyes and making lewd comments about what he was going to give me for Christmas. And newsflash, it wasn't a new car or sweater. Yeah, talk about gross. I should have already moved out, but I just turned 18 a month ago. I was trying to stick it out as long as I could and save more money before I went on the run and ventured out on my own. My mom died a year ago, leaving me completely alone with my piece of shit stepdad. I've always gotten creepy vibes from him, but my mother thought she was in love. She never really gave two shits what I thought. I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but she wasn't really the best mom. She was always more concerned with hooking up with guys, especially ones like my stepdad, who had enough money to keep her and all her finery and habits. What all good it did her in the end, though. All the money in the world couldn't stop the cancer from riddling through her body. Is it wrong that I don't feel too much grief that she's dead? I feel more guilt at the thought that I don't mourn her than I do over the fact that she's gone. But how can I mourn a woman who left me in this kind of situation? The snow is coming down in earnest now. And it's not like in the movies where the pretty snowflakes cling to your eyelashes and in your hair and just sit there. No, they melt. And when they melt, they get you sopping wet. In no time, I'm shivering. I wish I'd had the foresight to put on a winter coat before sneaking out the door and making a run for it. But, unfortunately, I'm out here in my threadbare tank top and flimsy little sleep shorts. I try to look on the bright side, though. At least I have a pair of fur-lined boots on. I probably look freaking ridiculous. Not that there are many people out on the streets at this time of night, and the ones that I do see don't pay me any mind. I suppose that's one good thing about the city. Everyone minds their own business. You can go outside dressed like a complete lunatic, and nobody will say a word to you. At the same time, I can't help wishing that I was in some little whimsical little town, like Mayberry, where maybe somebody would lend a friendly hand to help a girl down on her luck out, because even though I grabbed my debit card before I left and shoved it in my panties, I've got less than $1,000 to my name, and I know that's not even going to be enough to secure an apartment in this city, much less pay for more than a month of rent. I am completely and royally fucked. To make matters worse, I slip on a patch of ice that I don't see on the sidewalk and go smashing down onto my ass, hard. I wince at the pain and then grimace when I feel the wetness seeping through the back of my thin shorts. My shivers double. Shit. I'm going to either go into hypothermia or catch pneumonia out here. I wrap my arms around myself in an effort to get warm. I'm so cold that my nipples are painfully hard. I glance left and right, looking for a light on in any building. I've got to get out of this cold. At least long enough to get my thoughts together and get warm so I can figure out just what the hell I'm going to do. Maybe I can at least bum enough clothes off of somebody so I can sleep under a bridge with the hobos without dying. I finally see a light on in a building up ahead and make a beeline for it. Though I'm more careful this time to make sure I don't slip again and seriously bust my ass. I can already feel the pain shooting up where I fell the first time. I'm so desperate for a bit of heat that I don't even stop to check the kind of business I'm bursting into. I just push on the door and breathe a sigh of relief when it opens and warmth immediately engulfs me. I don't know if it's the rush of the adrenaline or what, but suddenly I feel woozy. My legs go numb and I start to wobble. I feel panic pierce my chest as I see myself going down as if in slow motion. The last thing I see before my eyes close is a pair of stormy gray eyes and dark hair falling over a strong forehead. I vaguely wonder if I'm being dragged down to hell and I'm getting a glimpse of the devil. If so, he's handsome. Isn't that what they always say? The devil comes in a pretty package, or something like that. Oh well, maybe hell won't be as bad as everybody makes it out to be. It can't be any worse than what I just escaped from. My harried thoughts are interrupted as darkness engulfs me.
Chapter 2. Brian. I stare, dumbstruck, at the tiny angel passed out in my arms. She looks so delicate with her dark hair plastered against her porcelain face. Her dark eyelashes are stark against her pale skin. She's tiny and wet in my arms, like a broken little doll. A surge of protectiveness like I've never known before rises up within me. She weighs a little more than a feather as I cradle her against my chest and stroke the wet hair back from her face. Her skin is cold, and that puts my instincts into overdrive. I've got to get her dried off and warm. I was just locking up my gym when she came bursting through the door, her big cappuccino-colored eyes frightened and relieved all at the same time. My mind is swirling with a million questions. What is she doing out on the coldest nights of the year dressed like this? Every instinct tells me she was running from something. My jaw hardens. No. Not something. Someone. A girl doesn't look as frazzled as she did and go out like that unless she's in fight-or-flight mode. I quickly finish locking up the gym while still cradling her in my arms and then kill the lights before I head upstairs to my dwelling above my business. I've got a 2-bedroom loft above the gym, and it serves my needs perfectly. As soon as I enter my living room, I head straight to the roaring fire. I don't want to leave this girl for a second. But I lay her gently in front of the fireplace before I quickly head to the bathroom to grab some towels. Her clothing is so soaked from the snow that it's practically see-through and plastered against her skin. I know it's wrong, and a tiny part of me hates myself for it, but I feel my cock stiffening in my pants when I see her cherry red nipples hardened into little buds, poking through the top of the flimsy tank top. Jesus. She's not wearing a bra. My eyes skirt down to her bottoms, and I feel a bit of moisture leak out of the tip of my cock when I see her little pink mound outlined through the flimsy fabric. I frown when I see something rectangular in there. And I know that what I'm doing would normally be wrong on so many levels, but I've got to get her out of these wet clothes and get her warm. I try my best to be a gentleman and avert my eyes. But fuck, I'm a man. And I can't help drinking in every delectable inch of her young, supple body. Every inch of her is so fucking perfect. I don't touch her any more than is necessary. And I'm careful to resist the urge to trace my fingers over her nipples and down toward the area between her thighs. When I pull her panties down and quickly avert my gaze, something clatters onto the floor. I pick it up and notice that it's a debit card. Bonnie Belmont. Bonnie. I whisper her name as I wrap the towel around her and dry her wet skin. I swear, I'm not some pervert who gets turned on by girls he doesn't even know, but there's something about this one. The way she stumbled into my gym. The way my heart instantly jumped up into my throat as if it was trying to jump out of my body and leap toward her. The way my chest got all tight when she fell into my arms. The way it's like something has clicked into place inside of me. One look at Bonnie's sweet face as she stumbled into my gym looking like a scared little drowned kitten. And protective instincts I never knew I was capable of roared to life inside me. I don't know anything about this girl, but I know in this moment that I would die for her. It doesn't make any sense, but fuck if I care. I can't turn off this feeling inside me. It's an instant obsession. I sit there on the floor in front of the fire with her wrapped up in the towels and cradled against me as I run my fingers through her hair and watch as it dries into luscious waves. I don't know how long she's going to be out for, but I eventually tear myself away from her long enough to get one of my t-shirts and slip it over her so she doesn't wake up completely naked in a stranger's arms. That would probably scare her just as much, if not more so, than whatever she was running from. Once her hair is completely dry, I finally, reluctantly, carry her to my spare bedroom and tuck her in underneath mountains of warm blankets. But I can't bring myself to leave her alone. Instead, I sit in a chair in the corner of the room and watch over her. I don't know what her story is, but I'm going to find out. And little does she know that she just met her very own guardian angel tonight, because I vow to myself that nothing, and I mean nothing in this entire world, will ever frighten this girl again. Not while I'm alive. She showed up on my doorstep for a reason, and now I'm her protector.
Chapter 3. Bonnie. I'm enveloped in soft warmth when I wake up. I snuggle down deeper into the blankets before my eyes suddenly snap open as I remember the stormy gray eyes I saw before passing out. I sit up, wide awake, and blink as I look around the dark space that I don't recognize. My heart starts to beat frantically in my chest. I look down at myself to find that I'm no longer in my wet clothes. Instead, I'm completely dry and warm, and I'm in a huge t-shirt. A man's t-shirt. My eyes frantically scan the space again just as a voice sounds from the corner of the room.
"It's okay, Bonnie. Nothing is ever going to hurt you again."
I pull the covers closer to my chin in a protective gesture. "How do you know my name?" I'm instantly on guard. A tall form unfolds as the man stands. I have to tip my head up to see his face because, good Lord, he's tall. He must be over 6 feet tall, and he's nothing but bulging muscle. I can tell all the way from over here, through the black t-shirt and joggers he's wearing like a second skin. And there they are. Those piercing gray eyes and that dark hair that I noticed last night before I passed out. But now I notice so much more. He has a strong jawline covered in stubble. It's the kind of stubble that makes men look sexy as hell. He pulls my bank card from his pants pocket and holds it up by way of explanation. I feel my shoulders instantly relax, and then my cheeks turn red when I realize that I barged into this man's business and then collapsed right in his floor. "I'm so sorry," I stammer. "I didn't mean to intrude on you." He closes the distance between us in a flash before he sits on the edge of the bed, looming over me. I swallow audibly as I look up at him and bite my lip. His eyes flick down to my lips and darken before they come back up to capture mine.
"Who were you running from, princess?"
I don't know why, but hearing this man call me princess instantly sets me at ease. "My stepdad," I whisper. His jaw firms and his nostrils flare.
"Did he hurt you?"
There's a steely note in his voice that makes me feel safe, like he would destroy the world of anyone who ever hurt me. I shake my head adamantly. "No, I got out before he could." He gives a curt nod before his eyes roam over my face again.
"How old are you, princess?"
18, I admit.
"Where were you going last night before you stumbled in here half frozen to death?"
I bite my lip again and look away from him, suddenly feeling shamed and like a stupid little girl. "I don't know," I whisper. "I was just going away." I suddenly feel a strong finger under my chin, tilting my head up to meet his swirling gray eyes. His touch sends little tingles running up and down my spine. I stare at him wide-eyed, unable to look away if I even wanted to. His gaze is commanding, and his voice is even more so.
"Here."
His deep voice rumbles with absolute certainty.
"You were running here. To me."
I don't even have the desire to protest his strange statement because, in an odd way, it makes sense. I feel like my entire life has been leading up to this moment, to meeting this man, whomever he is. I don't know anything about him, but I feel safe with him. "You took care of me last night?" I whisper.
"I did."
His deep voice rumbles.
"I'll always take care of you, Bonnie."
I let his promise wash over me like warm sunshine. I don't know why, but I believe him. "What's your name?"
"Brian. Brian Lane."
"Brian." I whisper his name and feel the tremble go through him where he's still cupping my chin. His nostrils flare again, and his eyes flick down to my lips. I've never even been kissed before, yet I feel my lips tingling in anticipation of what it would feel like to have his lips touch mine. "If this is hell, it's not so bad," I say without even thinking. His brow furrows.
"What?"
My face heats again before I explain. "Last night, before I passed out, I remember seeing your eyes and thinking that the devil was handsome. I thought I was being dragged down to hell." He suddenly lets out a boom of laughter that has me grinning. I love the sound of his deep rumbles that are like that of a big bear.
"I might be the devil for the thoughts I'm having about you," he finally says. "But this definitely isn't hell, because angels don't live in hell."
He pins me with a look that sends butterflies taking flight in my stomach. "What kind of thoughts are you having?" I whisper as I feel my nipples pebble and wetness gush between my thighs. His nostrils flare as if he can sense the change in my body. But instead of answering me, he fists his hands in the bedding. I stare at him with bated breath, wondering if I've gone too far and upset him. But when he finally does speak, his voice is husky as he vows,
"Nothing you have to worry about, princess. I promise I'm going to protect you from everything, even myself."
I bite my lip again to restrain myself from voicing what I can't help thinking. What if I don't want to be protected from him?
Chapter 4. Brian. I meant it when I told Bonnie I'm going to protect her from everything in this world, even myself. Even if it kills me. I feed my princess first and foremost, and then I have some clothes delivered for her. As much as I love seeing her walk around in nothing but my t-shirt, I know she's going to need some clothes if she ever goes out anywhere. And as much as I would love to keep her locked up here forever, safe from everything, I don't want her to become a caged bird. On top of that, when I told her she could have the spare room for as long as she needed, she looked at me with such grateful eyes before she firmly said that she wanted to do something to earn her keep. I can respect that. But what she doesn't realize is that I will let her stay here forever. I want her to stay here forever, and I don't require her to do anything in return. I don't know what it is about this girl, but I'm completely attached to her already. I want to honor her wishes, though. So that's why I've got her working the desk at my gym. Yeah, I don't really need a receptionist. I usually book everything myself, but I put her in charge of answering the phones and doing other things in my small office space. Anything to make her feel useful and to keep her in my sights all day. It's hard for me to focus on training my clients when I keep sneaking glances over at her to make sure she's okay. When I break for lunch, I eat with her. And maybe I'm making her uncomfortable with the way I'm staring at her, but I can't help it. I love the way her fingers move. I love the way her eyelashes flutter against her pale cheeks. I love the way she flips those long, dark tresses over her shoulder. Fuck. I love everything about her. I could just watch the girl all day long. She doesn't even need to say a word. I'm mesmerized by her. At the end of the day, I give her her first paycheck and watch her eyes widen when she sees the amount written on it. She shakes her head and tries to pass the check back to me. I can't possibly accept this. This is way more than what I did today is worth. I refuse to take the check back. Consider it an advance, Bonnie. This way, you feel like you're earning your keep. She bites her lip before she smiles up at me shyly and says,
Okay. Thank you.
I intend for her to come upstairs to my apartment with me, but she heads for the door instead.
I'll catch you later?
She raises an eyebrow at me as if she's questioning if it's okay for her to go out. I swallow, and against my better judgment, nod and try to play it cool. Yeah, sure thing. She probably wants to go cash her check or put it in the bank. You want me to go with you? I can't stop myself from asking. She hesitates before she shakes her head firmly.
No, I'll be okay. I promise.
I see the determination in her eyes, and I reluctantly concede. It's amazing that after only one day, I can already read her so well. She's determined to not be a victim. She doesn't want to feel dependent on me any more than she already is. But my chest squeezes when I watch her walk out the door alone. Sweet baby, don't you know that you can always depend on me for anything? I stand there for a moment indecisively before my feet start moving of their own accord. Fuck it. I can't let her go out alone. Not after the shape I found her in yesterday. I'll follow her and be her silent guardian. She never needs to know anything about it. I'll stay in the shadows and just walk behind her and make sure she's okay. I know that what I'm doing is technically stalking, but ask me if I give a fuck. I'll go to any extreme to protect her because I know one thing deep in my bones after spending all day with her. Bonnie Belmont is mine.
Chapter 5. Bonnie. It's not that I didn't want Brian to come with me. It's that I did want him to come with me. So badly that I feel my feet getting heavier with every bit of distance I put between us. Why am I so attached to this man already? I kept peeking glances at him all day as he trained his clients. The way his muscles bunched and the way the sweat rolled over his bare chest had me clenching my thighs together like the blushing virgin I am. Brian is the hottest man I've ever seen. I don't know how old he is, but he's got to be at least 10 years older than me. I'm probably naive for having a crush on him. He probably looks at me as a silly little girl. Nothing more. I've already invaded the man's space enough. I don't need to make him feel like he has to go with me everywhere. I don't need to become that attached to him, because I can't stay with him forever, right? A little ball of dread forms in my stomach at the thought of leaving him, though. But that's what I'm eventually going to have to do. I have to go out on my own and make my own way. I can't let him continue to take care of me, even though he's paying me. I know that the man didn't have a receptionist before, which means he doesn't really need one. He's just doing this as a favor to me. He's a good guy, that's all. But what about what he said about what he wants to do to you and how he'll protect you even from himself? Ribbons of pleasure unfurl inside me when I remember his words and the way he looked at me. I might be inexperienced, but I'm pretty sure that he wants me. At least he did in that moment. Unless I'm reading everything wrong. I go into the bank to deposit my check, and even though the bank is filled with people, I keep glancing over my shoulder. I have the unsettling feeling that I'm being watched, which is ridiculous because there are probably lots of people glancing at me as they wait in line for their turn with the teller. I'm just paranoid and jumpy from yesterday, I tell myself. Still, that feeling doesn't go away when I leave the bank and hurry along the sidewalk on my way back to Brian's gym. Right before I get back to Brian's place, I feel myself yanked into an alley. Panic seizes me. A scream bubbles up in my throat, but a hand wraps over my mouth from behind. Then, I hear a voice that chills me to my bones, rasp directly in my ear.
Scream, and I'll slit your ungrateful little throat right here.
I don't feel a blade pressed to my throat, but I wouldn't put anything past my stepdad. He's probably got one on him. I'm trembling by the time he turns me around, and I look up into his angry eyes.
After everything I've done for you. I took care of you after your mother died. Fed you. Clothed you. And for what? You just run off like that without a word? You've had me worried sick.
Get your hands off me! I hate the way my voice comes out wobbly and weak-sounding, but apparently my stepdad loves it, because his eyes take on a delighted gleam. I feel like gagging when I feel him press his hardness against my stomach. He leans in and inhales deeply, like he's breathing in the scent of my hair while I struggle against his hold. I'm considering if there's any way I can knee him in the balls long enough for me to get away when he suddenly yanked back from me and flung against the side of the building. I gasp in relief when I see Brian's big form towering over my stepdad like a vengeful Hulk.
Don't you ever put your fucking hands on her again, he snarls down at my stepdad. Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you?
My stepdad spits, but Brian silences him with an expertly placed punch in the nose. Blood gushes from my stepdad's nose as he falls to the ground, wailing in pain.
That was your only warning. Next time you come near her, I'll obliterate you, and they'll never find what's left of you. Get out of here.
Brian nods his head toward the street, and surprisingly, my stepdad listens. He doesn't say another word. He doesn't even look at me as he hobbles out of the alleyway. My back is still pressed against the wall, and I'm still trembling when Brian turns his fearsome gaze on me. The storms in his eyes abate. His eyes soften as he looks at me.
You're scared to death, sweet baby.
His voice is gruff as he starts walking over to me. Something within me breaks when he calls me baby. I go running to him and lunge, throwing myself into his arms. He catches me, and I wrap my arms and legs around him and hold on for dear life, pressing my face against his neck as the sobs overtake me. He strokes my back soothingly and murmurs words of comfort into my ear.
I'm here, princess. Everything's going to be okay. He's never going to hurt you again. I'm sorry he touched you. I'm sorry, baby.
His voice sounds tortured, and when I finally pull my head back enough to look up at him, we're already back inside his gym. He's carrying us up the stairs to his apartment, and I swallow. You have nothing to be sorry for. You saved me. How did you know? How did you get there?
I followed you to the bank, he answers immediately. There was no way I was going to let you out alone after the way I found you last night.
His eyes are grave as he regards me. I know that maybe I should be pissed that he followed me without my consent, but all I can feel is relief. Stalker, I smile up at him. His eyes soften again, but he doesn't smile. Instead, his voice is serious when he tells me,
Yes, Bonnie, I'm going to stalk you till the end of time. You're never going to go anywhere without me again. If you don't want me there beside you, I'll be behind you. Because I'll be damned if I let some fucker put his hands on you ever again.
My heart warms at his words. I've never had someone like you to look out for me, I confess. He cups my cheek in his big palm and strokes his thumb along my jawline.
Well, you do now, baby, because I'm not going anywhere even if you want me to.
But why? I whisper, trying to make sense of it all. You don't even know me.
But I do,
he insists.
I know everything I need to know about you. I know that you're mine. I knew it the moment you stumbled into my gym last night, wet and cold and afraid. I knew it the moment I held you in my arms. Nothing has ever felt so right. You're mine, Bonnie. You've always been mine.
My heart does this funny leap as I feel his words settle in my soul. He's right. I am his. That's why I don't even try to stop myself from following my instinct when I tilt my head up and press my lips against his. Then take me, I whisper. Take all of me.
Chapter 6. Brian. When Bonnie kisses me and begs me to take her and that husky little voice of hers, I snap. I fucking snap. I meant it when I told her I'd protect her from anything, even myself. But she doesn't need protection from me. I am her protection. I'll always take care of her. I vow that to her now. You know that I'll always take care of you, don't you, Bonnie? She nods up at me and smiles the most beautiful smile I've ever seen.
I trust you, Brian.
Those words damn near bring me to my knees. I am unworthy of this angel, but fuck if I can stop myself from devouring her sweetness. I crush my lips to hers and kiss her with all the pent-up passion I've been fighting since I first held her in my arms yesterday. You're my everything, I whisper to her in between kisses. I'm going to give you the world, sweetheart, if you just let me.
All I want is you,
she protests, and my heart swells. All I'll ever need for the rest of my life is you, sweetheart, I tell her truthfully. She presses an innocent kiss against the side of my neck, and it's like she's branded her name on my skin. My cock jumps, and a jet of pre-cum ejaculates from the tip, staining the insides of my boxers with my desire for her. Fuck, baby, I've got to have you now, I groan.
Yes,
she agrees in a husky murmur as she starts humping her little mound against my hardness through our clothes.
Bonnie,
I groan her name as I place a hand on her hips to still her. Her cheeks redden, and she bites her lip as she looks up at me worriedly.
Did I do something wrong?
I groan again. Fuck, her innocence is killing me. No, baby. You're doing everything right. Too right. So right that if you keep going, I'm going to embarrass myself. She bites her lip and smiles at me shyly, and my suspicions are confirmed. Somehow, I knew that Bonnie was a virgin. She's just too sweet and innocent. But to see it confirmed nearly puts me into a frantic flurry. Every cell in my body is screaming out at me to shove my dick inside her and claim her as my own. Breed her. Impregnate her. Make her mine in every possible way. I don't know where these caveman thoughts are coming from, but I'm sure as hell not going to try to fight them because I want everything with Bonnie. The family. The white picket fence. Anything she wants. I'll give her anything. Things that I never used to dream for myself, I now imagine with this girl, my woman. I trail my kisses over the side of her neck, sucking and nibbling on her flesh and delighting in the way she moans so sweetly in my ear. You're driving me insane, I whisper into her ear. She mewls, a sound that has my cock jumping again and makes me groan. I've got to warn you, sweet Bonnie. Once I get inside you, I'm not stopping until I put a baby in you. Her breath hitches, and I feel her wetness gushing out between us and wetting me through our clothing. Fuck. My baby likes that, doesn't she?
Oh, God,
she moans. I pull back and look down into her cappuccino-colored eyes, marveling at the lust I see there. Her cheeks are flushed, her lips pink from my kisses, and I swear I've never seen anything more beautiful in my entire fucking life. And while my cock is about to rip clean through my pants, I'm determined to take my time and make this good for her. This is going to be my baby's first time, so I carry her over to the bed and slowly strip her clothing off of her, kissing and licking every inch of her skin. Worshipping her with my lips and words. So beautiful. So perfect. Don't deserve an angel like you. You're my everything. Everything I never even knew I needed. She's glowing and trembling under my praise, and when I finally reach the juncture between her thighs, her little virgin pussy is glistening with her sweet nectar. I groan as I go in for a taste. My cock spits again when her sweetness touches my tongue. It's like I've died and gone to heaven. Her pussy is the sweetest thing I've ever tasted, and I feast on it like a man starved. If they ever put me on death row, this pussy will be my request for my last meal. I growl into her before I begin to suck on her in earnest. Intent on making her come all over my face.
Brian,
she pants out my name as she fists her fingers in my hair and starts humping her pussy up into my face. That's it, baby, I hiss in between her legs. Ride my face. Give it all to me. I don't know if she hears me or she's too far gone, but she obeys, grinding herself down onto me until she screams out her pleasure. Her wetness exploding onto me. I drink it all up greedily, lapping at her like a dog. She falls back onto the bed limply. I can't take it anymore and pull my shirt from my head before quickly pushing my joggers down. Bonnie's eyes widen when she takes in the length and girth of me, but I shush her with a tender kiss to her lips. I know it looks big and scary, baby, but I promise it will fit. It's all for you. Only for you. And you were made for me. You know that, right? Her eyes find mine, and I watch the worry dissipate. She nods up at me trustingly. The trust that this girl puts in me stabs straight through my heart again. What did I ever do to deserve her? Nothing. Not a damn thing. But I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing everything I can to prove to her that she's the air I breathe. Look at me, sweet baby, I tell her as I take her face in my hands and capture her eyes with mine. I position myself against her entrance and start pushing into her slowly, never taking my eyes from her beautiful face. Her lips part, and her breath hitches as I push myself into her until I reach her virgin barrier. She sucks in a breath and whimpers as I prod against it. Shush. I hush her before I place calming kisses all over her face until I feel her relax against me again. Then, I brace myself before I tear through her virginity with a swift plunge of my hips. She gasps out and clings to me as I slide all the way inside her. My chest swells in victory at finally claiming her as mine and feeling our bodies become one. My entire life has been leading up to this moment when I have my sweet Bonnie in my arms. I'm overcome with emotion as I gather her close to my chest and drop kisses all over her forehead. You feel that, sweet girl? You're mine now.
I'm yours.
She breathes with a note of wonder in her voice. Her pussy clenches around me, and I groan as I bury my face in her neck and begin to thrust into her carefully. She moans and lifts her hips up to me in invitation. It's an invitation I can't refuse. I begin sliding in and out of her deeper and longer until I'm pulling almost all the way out and thrusting into her harder and faster. She clings to me as if she's never going to let go. And I revel in the sensation as I wrap my arms around her and splay my hands against her back while I drop kisses all along her neck and shoulders as I fuck her with everything in me. This is more than fucking. This is more than making love. This is our two souls joining as one. It's a spiritual thing. And I know I'm never going to be the same again. Bonnie, baby mine. I'm mumbling nonsense against her skin as I rut into her like a depraved animal. But God help me. She's thrusting her pussy back up at me, driving me insane. Before I know it, I feel my seed bubbling up out of my balls. Fuck, sweetheart, here it comes, baby. You ready to make me a daddy?
Yes,
she moans out as she lifts her hips higher than before, ready to accept all of me. That does it. I slide so deep I feel myself bumping against her cervix. That triggers my release until I'm spewing my hot cum deep inside her. I groan and hold myself there while my cock spasms for what feels like forever. Bonnie's cunt quakes and flutters around me as she comes with me, drawing my seed deep inside her belly. I finally collapse. But I make sure to roll us so that she's laying on top of me with my cock still buried deep inside her. There is no way in hell I'm pulling out now.
I love you, Brian.
Her voice is so sweet and innocent, it makes tears spring to my eyes. I don't even try to hold them back as I tilt her chin up so she's looking at me. Her brown eyes are swimming with their own tears. My chest tightens at the sight. And my voice comes out raspy as I speak the only words that will ever matter for the rest of my life. I love you too, Bonnie. Forever. Epilogue. Brian. Almost a week later. It's Christmas Eve, and I'm sitting in front of the fireplace with Bonnie wrapped up in my arms, her back against my chest. It's my favorite way to hold my tiny angel. We're staring at the lights of the Christmas tree as I run my fingers through her hair. It's not even been a full week since I took her virginity and made her mine, but we've grown closer than two people could ever be in that short time. I splay my hand protectively on her belly. Of course, it's too early for her to even take a pregnancy test and find out, but I already know deep in my bones that she's pregnant with my child. I press a kiss against the side of her head and gather her tighter against me. She snuggles back into me and I smile. In all my 30 years, I've never had a Christmas tree or decorated for the holidays at all. I never had a reason to. But the world is a different place with Bonnie in my life. I'm seeing things through her eyes, and I want to give her everything. I want everything with her. My heart is beating a mile a minute as I slip the square box from my pocket and hand it to her. She takes it gingerly and glances over her shoulder at me with questioning eyes. Open it. My voice comes out husky. I'm pretty sure I know what she'll say, but I'm still nervous because it might be too soon. But I can't wait on anything with Bonnie. I need to make her mine in every way. She gasps when she opens the box and sees the princess cut diamond inside it. Brian, she whispers in a shaky voice as she raises her hand to her lips. I turn her in my arms so that she's straddling me. I tilt her chin up so I can look into her beautiful cappuccino-colored eyes and brush her hair back from her shoulders tenderly as I wrap my arms around her. I know I'm supposed to be on one knee for this. But there's no way in hell I could ever remove you from my body when you're sitting on me. She lets out a tiny laugh that makes my chest tighten, and I go on. Bonnie, you're my life. My world. You know that. Now will you please be my wife? She doesn't even hesitate before she bites her lip and then smiles at me. That radiant smile that catches my breath every time I see it.
Yes.
The tears flow from her eyes, and I take the ring from the box and slip it on her finger, already feeling even more possessive just seeing my ring on my girl's hand. I kiss each finger on her palm before I kiss the ring, all while holding her eyes captive. Her breath hitches, and then she finally flings her arms around my neck and buries her face in my chest. We sit like that for a long moment, just savoring each other's presence before I feel myself starting to grow in my pants, just as I feel her wetness reaching me through our clothing. We're so in tune we don't even need to speak. She lifts up just as I pull my pants down. I pull her little panties to the side and I'm inside her in one swift thrust. Our lovemaking is unhurried as we move softly against each other, breathing in each other's air, kissing each other sensuously. I run my hands all along her body before I finally pull my shirt from over her head. I bought her plenty of sexy lingerie, but my girl would rather sleep in one of my oversized t-shirts, and that's fine with me, because the caveman inside me loves seeing her wrapped up in my things. When she's naked in my arms, I suckle one of her firm little nipples into my mouth and savor the way her head falls back, her hair brushing against my hands where I hold the small of her back. Her pussy clenches down on me, and I know she's going to come any moment. I am too. I feel my seed boiling over in my balls. Come for me, baby, I beg her, always needing to feel her fall apart on me before I can let go. She does so beautifully, and we come together like we always do. There's nothing like the feeling of her milking me as I'm giving her everything I've got. We shudder and quake in each other's arms as our tongues mate together. I come even harder at the thought that this time next year, we'll have our first baby, and maybe even another one on the way. If I have my way, I'm going to put so many babies up inside her, there will never be any doubt who she belongs to. Merry Christmas, baby, I whisper against her lips with that beautiful vision in my mind. She smiles at me dreamily.
Merry Christmas, Brian, my stalker.
This has been Stalking in the Holidays, written by Emma Bray, narrated by Mackenzie Berry. Copyright 2022 by Emma Bray. Production copyright by Emma Bray. I finally see a light on in a building up ahead and make a beeline for it.
though I'm more careful this time to make sure I don't slip again and seriously bust my ass. I can already feel the pain shooting up where I fell the first time. I'm so desperate for a bit of heat that I don't even stop to check the kind of business I'm bursting into. I just push on the door and breathe a sigh of relief when it opens, and warmth immediately engulfs me. I don't know if it's the rush of the adrenaline or what, but suddenly I feel woozy. My legs go numb and I start to wobble. I feel panic pierce my chest as I see myself going down as if in slow motion. The last thing I see before my eyes close is a pair of stormy gray eyes and dark hair falling over a strong forehead. I vaguely wonder if I'm being dragged down to hell and I'm getting a glimpse of the devil. If so, he's handsome. Isn't that what they always say? The devil comes in a pretty package, or something like that. Oh well, maybe hell won't be as bad as everybody makes it out to be. It can't be any worse than what I just escaped from. My harried thoughts are interrupted as darkness engulfs me.
Welcome back, lady listeners. Thank you so much to Emma Bray for letting us play Stalking in the Holidays on Christmas. I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays, a safe New Year, and you can join us back here on the podcast February 6th. That's right. We are taking a nice long break. We hope you enjoy your holidays. If you get some time off, please do yourself a favor. Rest, relax, you deserve it. Treat yourself if you can. And if you can't, then make everybody else miserable around you and tell them I said so. All right, we'll see you guys later. Oh, fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick. Bye, guys.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read me romance.